Our second case is number 23-1367, Ingenico Inc. v. ING. Okay, Mr. Leibowitz.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Noah Leibowitz from Deckert LLP on behalf of Appellant IO Engine. Your Honors, as the briefing reflects, there are a number of errors in the Court's analysis below in denying IO Engine's post-trial motions. I'd start with the pre-installed firmware upgrader issue, which really permeates the entirety of the District Court's decisions below. That theory, that there was a pre-installed firmware upgrader, is not something that was tried in this case. All of the trial evidence was about a downloadable firmware upgrader. It was mentioned dozens of times that this was something that was downloadable. The README document, which is what Ingenico read against the claim language, was referred to a downloadable firmware upgrader. And that's important because certain of the claim elements in this case refer specifically to code that's stored and executed on the terminal, on the host computer, and executed by the terminal processor, the processor of the host computer. And that's what they showed by saying you download it to your computer and you're running it on your computer. They didn't have a theory at trial that there was this pre-installed firmware upgrader for a good reason. It's something that only came up after trial.
Okay, so that I can understand your argument. There's a document at 10931, which is this disk on key technology, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And my understanding is the District Court relied on that document as showing that this was an installed option that was available on disk on key technology. And you argue that that was not argued to the jury, that the document wasn't read to the jury. I understand that argument, but just put that to one side for a moment. Now let's assume that this was argued to the jury. Would this document provide substantial evidence to support the on-sale bar finding?
So we don't believe so, Your Honor, because even if they're putting aside the issue, as Your Honor's hypothetical puts forward, that the document was not argued to the jury in that way, if this document showed there was some kind of firmware upgrader that was pre-installed on the devices, there was no evidence in this case as to how that firmware upgrader worked. And that very document talks about the application being run directly from the disk on key device, not from your computer. It says it right there in the document.
Well, that was true of the device before this upgrade, right? That it ran applications independently of the computer, right?
The disk on key had the capability of doing so.
Yeah, and so my question is, as I understand it, the upgrade, what you refer to the upgrade, is that it enables the thumb drive or whatever it is to have an application that permits it to get automatic upgrades, correct?
That's the downloadable one. That was the purpose of the downloadable one.
Yeah, okay. So why doesn't this show that option was available? Why doesn't this document show? Assuming it was argued properly.
Right, so assume that if it was argued properly as a pre-installed upgrader, the question is, how did that pre-installed upgrader work? and there was no evidence that the pre-installed upgrade, if there were a pre-installed upgrader, that it would work the same way as the downloadable one, which require, again, because the claims require certain code to be on the computer and certain code on the...
This talks about having an application that upgrades their firmware using the upgrade program. So that's not the application that allows firmware upgrades?
Well, no, it is, Your Honor, but that document says that application can be run directly from the disk on key device itself, rather than having an application where you have some of the code on the computer and some of the code on the disk on key, on the portable device. Right? The claims require certain program codes, specific program code, certain program code that's running on the computer, on the terminal, and certain program code that's running on the portable device. They showed that with the downloadable
one. You're suggesting this is somehow different from the upgrade, from the downloadable upgrade?
Well, there's no evidence. As if there were a pre-installed version of an upgrader, there's no evidence as to how that one worked. There's no witness, no documents, nothing about how, if there were a pre-installed upgrader, that could have worked just by you plug in your disk on key device and it runs automatically. There's no indication that any kind of pre-installed upgrader, if one had existed, worked exactly the same as the downloadable one. And it's important, again, because where is the code?
I just don't understand what this talks about is having an application that does automatic upgrades, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And
why doesn't that satisfy the claim limitation?
So two reasons. First of all, there was testimony at the trial put in by Ingenico that there were potentially different ways of doing firmware upgrades. They had the witness from M Systems who talked about
what does the claim require?
So that's my point, Your Honor. The claim requires specific program code, some of the code being run on the computer, the terminal, and some of the code being run on the portable device, which they analogize to the disk on key here. If you have an application that's on the disk on key itself, pre-installed, run from that disk on key, you haven't shown the elements of the claim that require code to be run on the computer. The reason why the downloadable one was the focus at trial is because you download it to your computer.
I didn't see this argument in your brief.
Oh, yeah, Your Honor, it's certainly in the brief. I'll find the citation for you. But yes, we certainly make the point in our brief that there is no evidence. If there were a pre-installed version, there's no evidence as to how that worked and that the operation would have actually met the limitations of the claim.
The upgrade version that was available that supports the public use finding did satisfy the claim limitation?
I didn't quite begin.
Do you agree that the upgrade download that was available did satisfy the claim limitation?
Well, we haven't challenged on appeal, Your Honor, that the downloadable version met those limitations of the claim.
Okay.
Because it showed code running on the computer, because you downloaded it to your computer, you ran it on your computer, and that was the whole focus of at the trial. And so that page, even if you accept as you know, put aside our argument that it was not something that was argued to the jury, that the page is
okay,
talking
so,
about...
So that on the public use finding the district court made, why isn't there a public use here when several hundred people had the disk on key technology, and why isn't there a proper inference that those people downloaded this available application that was offered to them and encouraged by the patentee?
Sure. So on the public use, look at the 3M case, Your Honor, which was, by the way, a reversal of a denial of JMOL, court.
Stick with my question. My question is, there's evidence that several hundred people purchased the disk on key technology. There's evidence that they were offered an upgrade, which you agree met the claim limitations. Why isn't the jury entitled to infer that given the amount of encouragement by the patentee to download this and to use this, that was sufficient to create an inference that people did actually download it and use it?
Okay, and I think the answer is, Your Honor, because that type of inference is exactly the same type of inference that this court said would not satisfy clear and convincing evidence.
Maybe I'm mixing up apples and oranges, but there's an exhaustive discussion of all of this by the district court. And on page A18, am I talking about something other than this, where he says that to begin, the M-System sales spreadsheet sheets identified hundreds of sales of disk on-key devices with the firmware upgrade to customers in the United States as early as 2002?
So that is what the district court said. However, those spreadsheets do not identify anything about a firmware upgrader. The district court only reached that conclusion. The spreadsheet just shows sales of disk on-key devices. That's all it shows. It shows sales of the device itself.
There was evidence that the patentee offered the upgrade, which you say was within the claim limitations, and encouraged people to upgrade it and use it, right?
Correct. They sold the disk on keys. They've made the upgrade available on their website.
Why isn't that other evidence sufficient for a jury to conclude that people who purchased, some of the hundreds of people who purchased the disk on key technology, downloaded the app and used it?
Okay, so two reasons, Your Honor. Number one, this application, this upgrader, was not something that was incidental to the normal use of a disk on key. It's something that's completely optional and tangential. You could use your disk on key just fine without ever downloading or using this upgrader. So the fact that people had purchased disk on keys, which, again, there were witnesses who testified all the way through that these were just blank devices with no applications on them at all, the witnesses they put in, that said that they were just blank devices. Having that and using it does not imply...
Your client advised people that this upgrade was available, encouraged them to do the upgrade and use it, which you've agreed. Why isn't that sufficient to have an inference that some people follow that advice?
Okay, so not my client, Your Honor, but M-Systems certainly did put out there that there was this upgrade. They made an upgrade available on their website. And my answer to your inference question is that this court has required more than that with respect and said that those type of inferences are not clear and convincing evidence. Particularly in the 3M case, you had a situation where people actually sent... The invention had two different parts to it. You had to mix them together. There was evidence that those were sent out to specific customers. And the question was, is that a reasonable inference that having received that, the person who got it actually used it by putting the two parts together and using it? And this court said, no, that's not a reasonable inference to make on a clear and convincing evidence burden. You need to actually show someone actually used it. And here it's a similar issue. You'd have people with a disk on key, a blank disk on key. They would have to download the application. There was no evidence that anyone downloaded it. There were no download logs. There was nothing like that. There was not even any evidence that an update was available somebody would think, oh, I want to update my disk on key. There was no evidence that an update was available during the relevant time period. There was no evidence that there was nothing showing that anyone actually downloaded it. Or used it, and the inference that someone may have simply because it was made available is actually less of evidence than was available in 3M, where somebody actually specifically provided and it was received the different parts of the invention, yet this court said that's not enough to show actual use.
Can I ask you just a quick question on estoppel before you sit down?
Yes.
Which is, your blue brief indicates that estoppel should apply if the device art is merely cumulative or not substantively different from the prior art that could have been raised in an IPR. I'm not clear what those terms mean. I mean, how can something by its nature, a physical device, is substantively different from a printed publication, right?
Well, so I think the answer is it may be, but not necessarily if the printed publication describes the operation of the physical device. That's what those cases say, and the non-substantively different, that's what the district court found on summary judgment, saying that they would have to show that it was a substantively different use and ground in
but
order for the estoppel not to apply.
It's clearly a physical embodiment that the jury can see and understand in a different way than when something written on a piece of paper, right?
Well, I don't know that I agree, Your Honor. It certainly is a physical embodiment, but all they did in this case is hold it up and say, here it is. They didn't show anything different or show anything about that physical device that was not also already in the printed publications. The district court pointed to a processor. The device had a processor. They showed that through the publications. They didn't open up the device and show the jury a processor. All they did, they didn't even plug the device in at trial or use it with the firmware upgrader. They had the firmware upgrader. They had the device. They didn't even put them together at trial to show the jury how it operated. All they did with the physical device is say, here it is. And then they relied entirely on the publications, the printed publications, which they had and were available to them for the IPR to make out their case about what the device does and what it has.
Well, the case, no, they couldn't make out their case in the IPR. It's not an on-sale bar case under the IPR.
Correct. It was not an on-sale bar case. It was just the printed publication showed about how the device operates.
Yeah, they didn't have to show that in the jury trial they're proving that there was on sale use through the manual and through the device, right?
Well, so through the manual, again, the device, they didn't actually do anything with the device in front of the jury other than show it to them.
But it's a different question. I mean, in the on sale bar requires all sorts of things that the printed publication theory doesn't require. It requires ready for patenting, embodiment of the invention, commercial offer for sale. It's different proof, right?
Well, certainly different proof is required, Your Honor, but our point is that all of the proof they put in, even on the on-sale bar issue, came from paper, printed publications. None of those things that Your Honor just mentioned were proved up by showing the jury a device, which, in fact, the one they held up, they didn't even say this was one that was on sale prior. I'm not even sure which version it was that they held up. None of that came in. There was no evidence of that. At the trial, everything at the trial was all the capabilities of the device, all of that was on paper from publications, which they had. And the judge, in fact, made a finding at below on summary judgment that they had access to all of those publications and papers, you know, in time to and with reasonable use in the IPR.
Okay. I think we're out of time. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Timbers.
May it please the court, Kerry Timbers for Ingenico. Your Honors, there was only evidence of one upgrader. It's the same upgrader whether it's downloaded or whether it's provided on the disk on key. The disk on key is a storage device. And so the district court relied upon
How do we know they're the same?
Pardon?
How do we know they're the same?
There's no evidence they're not. The only evidence is that there is an upgrader program.
Burden of proof is on your client.
Yes, and there's evidence that there's an upgrader program. So that's what, and we know that that was available for download. And we know that the upgrader program, it's called the same thing, is available on the disk on key, according to the document 10931 that Your Honor mentioned, and that the district court relied upon with respect to the sale. The download availability is not a sale, but providing it on the disk on key when it's sold is on sale. So we cover both 102A and 102B. We do believe that it is an appropriate inference that if you make the download available and you encourage all of your users to use it, and you provide the README file, which is on the website that explains exactly how to use it, there is a reasonable inference that a jury could say, yeah, people did it. People downloaded it and people used it.
They rely on 3M. Why is that different?
So 3M is different because there were two different things that had to be put together, and each one alone did not anticipate. And so you had to put those two things together, and there was no evidence those two things were provided in a way that would allow somebody to put them together, and no evidence that people were encouraged to put them together. Whereas here, this was provided, the upgrader was provided with the device. In the case of the document that proves the sale, and it was provided by download specifically to users of the disk-on-key device. So they were saying, do it. This will make your disk-on-key better because we'll upgrade the software on the disk-on-key. So they were tied together in a way that in 3M they weren't. With respect to the IPR, I think Your Honor's questions were right. The information about the upgrader was not available at the time in any event, at the time of the IPR. This is stuff that was from 20 years before. In order for Ingenico to obtain it, we had to subpoena SanDisk, which was the successor to something like three different corporate acquisitions, to even obtain the documents. And in order to get the testimony that was used at trial, which was deposition testimony from Israeli witnesses, we had to go through the Hague Convention. So none of that evidence of sale or even of use of the upgrader was available at the time of the IPR. So there was no reason for there to be any estoppel. I think those are the key aspects of my presentation. I just wanted to point out that the document that the district court relied upon was a single-page document. It was put in front of the jury, and there was testimony about it. And also that the README file, which had screenshots that showed how the upgrader actually worked, was testified about by IoEngine's own expert, and he specifically testified that those screens and the use of that would teach a person of ordinary skill in the art to make and use the invention. And if there are no further questions,
I have a question.
Yes.
On the estoppel question, do you agree with what your friend said, that the only discussion or use of the actual device that was on sale was holding it up? No discussion of what it did or whatever? Is that
there was an enormous amount of discussion about what it did. You're talking about the disk-on-key?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at trial, Mr. Geyer, who was Ingenico's expert, went through exactly what it did, looked at all the documents that describe what
it
did.
I'm talking about use of the device itself, the import of showing the jury the device.
Yes, we couldn't actually run the upgrader program because there was no upgrade to be had. In other words, this was...
Did you have testimony that went along with the device to say what it did and how it behaved?
Absolutely. We had three witnesses from the people. We had Mr. Harkabi, Mr. Elazar.
Would you have some sort of record sites to go along with you?
Yes, Your Honor. My colleague will help me with that. But in there we go. Yes, so we have on our page 6 of our brief, we talk about the testimony of three former M Systems employees, and I can give you the appendix numbers if you wish.
Well, if they're included on page 6,
they're all on page 6. Okay. So the testimony from the three witnesses, also the documentary evidence from M Systems, which and Western Digital, which we got through SanDisk, is also there, as well as public documents that were available. The physical disk-on-key USB device that we obtained through the subpoena, and then expert testimony from Mr. Geyer going through.
I have a recollection that the district court said that you did a firmware upgrader demonstration at trial. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. No, we couldn't do a firmware upgrader demonstration because there were no servers out there anymore to do that. But the README file contained screenshots, and there was testimony from the witnesses about this, and they showed what screens you would have at each point in using the actual firmware upgrade.
Okay.
And so that's
that was
a testimony.
The demonstration.
Yes. And Dr. Rubin, who was IOEngine's expert, was cross-examined by me and answered a lot of questions about how going through those screens would, in fact, teach a person of ordinary skill in the art how to make and use the invention.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That's all. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Leibowitz, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So just working backwards, so all of the what counsel was just talking about in terms of the estoppel issue, Judge, he said himself, it was the README file that they pointed to, right, with particular screens. That README file, that was a document. That was a physical document. It was one of the documents that was that the court below on summary judgment found and specifically that they had available to them at the time of the IPRs.
I'm not understanding how it can be that an on-sale bar could be an estoppel issue with respect to the on-sale bar, because some of the documents were used, could have been used in the IPR, even though there's additional requirements with respect to the on-sale bar. It's just not, there are issues with respect to on-sale bar that just are not addressed or considered by the commission, by the patent office.
So I agree with that, Your Honor, but the issue here is that all of the evidence with respect to all of those points was something that was available to them at the time of the IPR. It was all documentary evidence.
They couldn't have introduced it. It would have been irrelevant. The question of whether the thing was on sale was irrelevant to the IPR proceeding, right?
No, I don't agree with that, Your Honor. They could have put all of that. They could have made that exact argument in the IPR.
How could you make the exact argument that it was embodied in something that was sold?
By putting in the spreadsheets on the sales of the device, which is all they put in here.
Why would that be germane? I mean, that's the point of the IPR, is that you can't do an on-sale bar.
Well, you certainly can't do a physical device. You can put in a physical device. I agree with that. But they could have all of the documentation.
Well, let's
our
put
point
it this
is,
way. Yeah. There are elements that are necessary to establish an on-sale bar defense that are irrelevant to the IPR when you're dealing with a printed publication.
I agree with that, Your Honor. But I think the point
here. The printed publication is used for an entirely different purpose at the IPR, right? It's in there to show that this is prior art, that it's been disclosed before. It has nothing to do whether it's been sold or used or.
Certainly, that's correct. The evidence with respect to what's put in is to establish it as prior art, and that issue as to whether it is prior art or not is also the issue that was at issue in the district court proceeding, and for which they relied entirely on documentary evidence. Not anything other than
evidence to show that there was a physical product that was sold.
Well, and I will say, Your Honor, that this is something that with respect to the subpoena that he mentioned, that they only got these documents by subpoena. That those exact documents, that's what the district court had below on summary judgment and said, and I'm quoting from the district court at Appendix 115. Ingenico does not suggest any reason to believe that it could not have raised those documents in the IPR proceeding as well, referring to the documents that we're talking about here, the firmware upgrade document, all of the documents describing the Discon key, all of the documentary evidence that what they actually relied on at trial. The district court made a finding that Ingenico did not suggest any reason to believe that it could not have raised those documents in the IPR proceeding. Once you cross that bridge that they could have raised all of those documents in the IPR proceeding, then they should have been stopped on raising on that now, unless they made a substantively different case by virtue of putting in a physical device.
I think we're out of time. Okay, thank you. Thank all counsel. The case is submitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.